For the last few years, I've been learning about and trying to put into practice something called asset-based community development, or ABCD for short. Nice, huh? It was developed in the early 90s by John McKnight and Jody Kretzmann of the Institute for Policy Studies at Northwestern University. The idea is a simple one. We can build better communities when we focus on what we have rather than what we don't have. Here's what they say in their own words. The asset-based approach to development grew out of the recognition that communities, like congregations, can experience cycles of negativity. But healthy and vital communities are built by the rediscovery and mapping of community resources, such as the skills of residents, the power of local association, and physical and economic assets. So ABCD has been around for 20 years or more at this point, and many have found that communities can be built better and stronger when we focus on what we have rather than what we don't have. Here's a simple success story of ABCD. About 15 years ago in South Bend, Illinois, there was a United Methodist Church, not unlike this one, who ran a local food shelf, not unlike this one, or at least has a relationship with one. And as clients came into the food shelf for distributions, they got into the habit of offering surveys and asking people who came for them to report what they were good at, what they were able to teach to other people. So one of the women who came through filled out the survey and apparently sort of bragged that she was an incredible cook. So the church staff decided that they were interested in that, and they asked the woman to cook for them, and she was, in fact, an incredible cook. So quickly, she became the go-to caterer for church functions, and that developed into a business for her, where she was able to have a catering business in the community and even able to hire a few staff people. Right? It's simple, isn't it? You identify assets, you build partnerships around those assets, and then you build better communities along the way. A, B, C, D. So Paul wrote a couple of thousand years ago, and he had never heard of A, B, C, D. But he seems to intuitively know that you can build better communities when you focus on what you have, not what you don't have. So in our passage this morning, it comes from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. It was an early Christian community. And Paul, when he was writing this letter, and this community were in a difficult place. There was a lot that they did not have. First, Paul did not have his freedom. We think that he was in prison, likely in Rome or in Ephesus. The community itself the church community was embedded in a thriving Roman colony that was culturally and religiously distinct from the small group of Jesus followers at the time. And they were religious and cultural outsiders in many ways. And there's evidence in the letter that their outsider status was causing conflicts with the wider community, and they were experiencing persecutions as well. They did not have a good relationship with the community that surrounded them. Third, the community also did not have theological agreement, right? Churches usually always agree on who God is and what God means for their lives, right? But not this church, just like all of us. But what was happening, we see from the letter, that there was some folks within the community and perhaps from outside the community that were coming in and teaching different ideas, a different understanding of the gospel than Paul had been trying to teach them, and that was causing some conflicts and some tensions internally. Lastly, the early church community in Philippi, it did not have administrative unity either. There were conflicts between two leaders, which Sandy read beautifully, Euodia and Syntyche, right? They were two women leaders that were fighting with one another. And it was so bad that Paul felt the need to mention it in a letter that would have been read publicly in front of the whole community, right? So there was a lot that Paul and this community did not have. And they were vulnerable in a difficult circumstance, and their very existence was being threatened. So it's interesting, I think, important, and perhaps surprising that in the middle of all of this, Paul decides to write a letter that's filled with warmth, optimism, it's salted with calls to rejoice, and it calls the Philippian church to focus on all that was good and right and true. Paul doesn't ignore the problems and the brokenness, right? He names them. He doesn't wear rose-colored glasses. But at the same time, he acknowledges what's wrong. He tries to rise above them, to move beyond them, and to teach the Philippian church how to do the same thing. So how does he do that? Our passage this morning is a wonderful one from chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, and it comes towards the end of Paul's letter. He's wrapping things up, right? And he's trying to communicate to them a few specific practical things that they can do to survive and thrive as a church of Jesus Christ. So here's what he tells them. First of all, he says, Euodia and Syntyche, stop fighting with one another. The Greek that he uses is, he says, autophronein en kyrio, which means be of the same mind in the Lord. Look, he says, the things that divide you are far less important than the Christ who knows you, so come on, get over it. Then he goes on, and he says, remember that Christ is near, that God is doing something new, even now reordering everything and everyone. So remember that Christ has come close, and because of that, rejoice. Give thanks. Stop worrying so much, and have the peace of Christ enter into your lives. In other words, stop worrying, and again, get over it. He ends in verses 8 through 9. He moves beyond the stop worrying and the stop fighting, and he says, look, because Christ is near, commit to developing the practice of filling yourselves with whatever. Whatever is good, whatever is noble, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent, whatever is lovely, whatever is praiseworthy. Fill yourself with the assets that you have. Because when you do that, you build a better church, a stronger church, the kind of church that God wants you to have and which the world needs. So it's remarkable, right? Writing in prison as he is in a difficult circumstance to a community on the verge of existence, that he chooses to focus on the positive, on the assets, and to encourage them to do the same. Don't worry, don't fight. Fill yourselves with whatever, because when you do that, you will thrive and your community will thrive too. A long time ago that was written, right? And yet it's still so very relevant to our churches and our communities and our lives, isn't it? It's easy, I know I feel this myself all the time, it's easy to get pulled down into what's wrong, to get into the cycle of negativity that McKnight and Kretzmann talk about. It's easy to look at the news headlines or our bank statements and think that that's all that there is, that that's what's most important, to be overwhelmed by that, to be eroded and withered and pulled down by it. And as we're pulled down by it, our communities are pulled down by it as well. So it's easy to get into this cycle of negativity, which is why I'm so very grateful for Philippians 4, 1 through 9 to come up in the lectionary this week as it did, because Paul in his elegant way reminds us that as easy as it is to get pulled down into the negative, it's also easy to resist that. And so I am going to exhort you in the same way that Paul exhorted the Philippian church so long ago. Dear one, whatever is happening in your life, whatever is wrong, broken, out of place, whatever is happening in your body, happening with somebody that you love, whatever relationships you have in your life are strained, whether your house needs a new roof or not, fill yourselves with whatever. Fill yourselves with whatever is true about the sun, the moon, and the stars. Fill yourself with whatever is noble that you see in your neighbors and coworkers. Fill yourself with whatever is lovely in your backyards. Fill yourselves with whatever is excellent about your parent, admirable about your partner. Fill yourselves with whatever is praiseworthy about our God in Christ, who you can rest assured really is with you and will never leave. And if we, you and me and we, fill ourselves with whatever, I am convinced of what Paul is convinced of, which ABCD is convinced of, that when we focus on what we have, we can thrive and our communities can thrive too. That's a message we need to hear, isn't it? And to tell people out there as well. All right, so to end, one of the things about practicing our spirituality is that we have to practice it. We have to do it, right? So to end this morning, rather than just talking about filling ourselves with whatever, let's take some minute as a whole congregation to fill ourselves with what's good and right and true in our lives and our families and our church, our community, and our world. So just like we do in our pastoral prayer time, let's give voice to all that's right in the world. Who would like to go first? Let's just go ahead and popcorn them out.
Apple pie.
Apple pie. Absolutely. Yes.
Fall colors.
Fall colors.
I'd like to give thanks for my best friend, Lissy.
For best friend, Lissy.
Thank you. Our
vegetables. Music. Absolutely. And for times like this, to remember together and to laugh together about all that's good and right and true.